Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 103 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, one more episode and it'll be our two-year anniversary.
Yeah, no need for listener submissions on that one. We just had the Love Fest on episode 100, so we'll call it good and we'll just give ourselves a little Barry Horowitz pat on the back for the big 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Holy crap, dude.
I know. That's crazy, isn't it?
Scott, the best way that everyone can support this show is head on over to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that Fully Posable Classically Jack t-shirt and Fully Posable Goes Retro. And Scott?
Yes, Jeff?
Guess what?
It's raining?
Yes, it is raining, Scott. But our new design for our t-shirt, our WrestleFest shirt, goes up this Tuesday.
This Tuesday?
This Tuesday, January 9th, our shirt will be on whatamaneuver.net, available for purchase.
This Tuesday in Texas, our shirt is available on whatamaneuver.net for purchase.
It will be in Texas and 49 other states, Scott.
That's a great deal.
Yes, at WhatAManeuver, we will have the design where Scott and I are in WrestleFest characters coming down to the ring. Scott is Hogan, which looks awesome, done by the Extra Cooler. I am the Ultimate Warrior. There's a lot of little touches on the shirt that I absolutely love. It will be available in four colors for you to choose.
Yeah, there are so many little pieces, like you said, Jeff, about that shirt. Not only did he do a great job of capturing us in WrestleFest form, but I've got to say my favorite part is the Saturday Night's Main Event logo on the front of the... Well, not to mention the ring cart we're coming to the ring in, but the Saturday Night's Main Event font logo on the front of the cart is my favorite part. Probably the cart, ring cart itself is my second favorite part. And then overall that it's WrestleFest, dude, Extra Cooler just nailed it.
Yeah, he crushed it. He went outside the box because Extra Cooler is known for Hasbro's.
Yes.
But on this one, he just absolutely crushed it.
Yeah, sometimes as an artist, when you go outside of your comfort zone, great things can happen. And Extra Cooler absolutely found that with this shirt. He just nailed it. Awesome job, dude.
So that will be available this Tuesday.
In Texas.
January 9th in Texas and 49 other states.
Yes.
Available to purchase whatamaneuver.net. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WF. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, like this one, comes from Hang of Wednesday.
Hang of Wednesday?
Hang of Wednesday. And the title of this one is Not Just Toys Here. This podcast is the best podcast when it comes to wrestling figures, but it is also one of the best pro wrestling podcasts, period. You have two brothers with real love for pro wrestling, and they have loved the sport since they were kids. That's true.
That is very true, yes.
Where most wrestling shows drown the listeners in negativity, Fully Posable intelligently talks figure issues and current and past product with the thought process that is honest upfront, but also never losing the joy for something they love. Thank you very much, Hang of Wednesday. We appreciate that.
Thank you, man. That's awesome.
That is awesome. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, the question I ask you every single week, did you do any toy spotting?
Yes, actually I did. But before I get into my very tragic toy spotting story, just a quick reminder, the Hasbro shirt is still in design phase. But we are now in money collecting phase. A few of you have seen a sneak peek. And so far, all I've heard back is how awesome Jason Wolf's designs are. Again, please go follow him on Twitter at JasonWLF. That's at JasonWLF. The dude does amazing work. The shirt that he's designing for us, the Hasbro card back, he's gotten most of the listeners done already. Everybody that made that list, that series one list, he's got most of them done, and I've sent off a few sneak peeks. And like I said, the feedback and the response has just been awesome. No negative feedback at all. Everything's been positive, but we do need to collect that money for Jason. So please, at your earliest convenience, ASAP, please send the money to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com on PayPal. Please send it friends and family so we don't get any fees, because we want to send it over to Jason fee-free as well. So as soon as you can, please send that money over to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com, friends and family, and we'll get all that money forwarded off to Jason. Sooner we get that done, sooner the shirt gets done, the sooner you can order that killer Hasbro Series 1 throwback card with all of our listeners on it. Well, 21 of them anyway.
Yes, please get that money over. We can't wait to get this shirt out. It's going to be available soon.
Yeah, I'm shooting mid-February.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, I want the design done probably within the next couple weeks. Jason and I have been working pretty close on that. I think we're getting near the end here. But I do want to get Jason paid before anything else. So again, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. PayPal us, friends and family, and we'll get that money sent off to Jason, and we should have a shirt ready by the middle of February. So, on to toy spotting. Yes, Jeff, I did do a bit of toy spotting. I went to Target, and here's where the tragedy begins.
Ooh, I love tragedy toy spotting stories.
Ugh, you love the tragedy ones, you sick man. So I walk down to where the WWE figures are, and I see one of the authors of Pain. It's Akam. I'm like, dude, sweet. I'm finally going to get the authors of Pain. I'm going to take them home, crack them open, throw them in my new ring that Jeff got me for Christmas, run over, and guess what?
Let me guess. It has Rezar's head on it.
No. They only had Akam.
Oh.
I want to know what sick individual out there purchased a Rezar and didn't buy Akam to go with him. It was the correct Akam head, by the way. So I was even more stoked about that. But then no Rezar.
Oh, no, dude.
Here's the other kicker. They had Dash Wilder's NXT Elite.
Oh, no.
They didn't have Scott Dawson's NXT Elite. So again, there is some sick dude running around Tracy. I was going to say something else, but this is a family podcast. There is some sick dude running around Tracy holding a Scott Dawson NXT Elite and a Rezar NXT Basic. I want to punch this man in his face hard 10 times consecutively.
So what I'm thinking is that someone went to their Target, maybe in a different city, and they had nothing but Rezars but no Akams, came to Tracy, found Rezar and picked him up and left all the Akams, whatever.
I think it's Akam, Rezar and Akam. I think so.
I think you're right.
Yeah. If hey, Authors of Pain, if you guys are listening, please let us know the correct pronunciation. Are heartbroken, dude. I had the funds to buy both Authors of Pain and both Revival guys, and I walked away completely empty-handed because I couldn't buy one without the other. It's like buying your peanut butter but not your jelly, and vice versa. Or as a kid, beginning the Batman pocket superheroes and not the Robin. I couldn't do that. Mom wouldn't allow that to happen. Mom said, no, you're going to get one for each hand. You get Batman and you get Robin. I couldn't get Akam and not Rezar, and I couldn't get Dash Wilder and not Scott Dawson. That makes zero sense to me. So I'm still on the hunt.
Well, maybe you could have teamed up Revival and Authors of Pain like you used to do with Warlord and Axe.
I only did that because I had no choice.
Well, at this time, you only have no choice, too.
Well, no, because they do make Scott Dawson and they do make Rezar.
So this would have been Authors of Revival?
Stop it. The Revivals of Pain.
Yeah, I was going there next.
Nice. But yeah, that's my my tragedy toy spotting for the week.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
No, you're not. You like those stories.
I love them.
You're like, I love to hear the heartbreak in your voice. It makes my day.
This past weekend, I'm guilty. I didn't do anything. 3-day weekend, and honestly, I barely left the house. I went to the gym twice, and that was it for me.
Did you feel the exhaustion from the holidays?
Dude, no joke.
What is it? This year, I've never felt it like I have this year. I am literally like in a big funk, just tired, not ready to start work again. I mean, that's normal, but just the pure tiredness or just being exhausted from the holidays, it was just super busy. And now I think it's all kind of catching up to me and I'm just in a funk, dude. If it wasn't for this, the wrestling figures in this show, ugh.
Dude, I think you're right, because it was funny. We got home, I got home on Friday from work. And I got home fairly early, and Celeste comes up to me and she goes, "Hey, will you go to Costco with me and your mom?" And I'm like, "I don't want to. I just want to edit the show and possibly fall asleep while editing the show, you know?"
Yeah.
And she's all, "Please, will you just come with us?" I'm like, "Okay.
Can't I just pull out my teeth with pliers instead?"
Dude, Costco on a Friday afternoon, 3-day weekend, oh. It was insane.
Oh, dude. That's insane.
Anyways, we were there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Got home, help unload the car, put everything away. And finally, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go start editing the show. I lay down in bed. I put on NXT. Dude, I fell asleep 3 minutes into the show, editing the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. And Celeste comes in and she goes, you look tired. And I'm like, just let me take a 20-minute power nap and then wake me up and I need to finish editing the show. I woke up at 9:30, got ready for bed, and went right back to bed. And I think I woke up at 6:30 the next morning. So I slept for like 12 hours, dude.
Nice. That's almost a coma.
I went to the gym. I came home, edited the show, and then took another two-hour nap. I think, it was about a two-hour nap.
Yeah, you had a lot of catching up to do, apparently.
Oh, dude. And then I was going to take the editor to see John Cena's new movie, Ferdinand.
Oh.
And I go, "Do you want to go see Ferdinand?" She goes, "Nah, let's go. Let's just hang out at home, you know, watch Family Guy, you know, celebrate the new year." I made it till about 10:30 and then I was out cold watching Family Guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you didn't even get to ring in the new year?
No, dude, I was out cold.
Awesome.
Hell of old.
Yeah, it's that old age thing, dude.
Oh, dude, it kicks your ass.
Yes, it does. It doesn't make you lose your love for wrestling figures, though.
Oh, that is very true. That is very true. That passion is still driving deep inside me.
Absolutely. Like times in prison.
Scott, we've got a little bit of news. What do you say we jump into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, in news this week, Toys R Us is liquidating their stores that they are going to be closing.
Yeah, they've hired liquidators, so that is the death knell for those 100 Toys R Us stores that are going to be closing, and I think it was, 26 of them or 25 of them over in the UK?
Right.
Sad day, man. It's a knife to the side of my childhood.
I know. I'm curious which stores are going in the U.S.
Yeah, we'll be finding out real soon. Just sad day, man. Let's ramp up this news, make it a little bit happier.
Mattel Retro Series 3 started popping up in Chicago at Target.
Of all places.
Yeah, exactly. Not GameStop, but at Target. They are keeping the same $12.99 price tag as well.
So Walmart will probably stay with the $9.99, and basically everywhere else, being GameStop and Target, is going to keep the $12.99.
Could be. I wonder why they would keep the $12.99 price tag. Like, what is justifying that?
That's a little bit too much if you ask me. That price point. I was watching on Twitter earlier, Brandon said something similar, that $13 price point just doesn't seem right for these things. Dude, when they came out, they were like $3.99. And I understand that was like the really, really early 90s, but still, I mean, it's still a small piece of plastic. They're not as well sculpted, I guess would be the best word, as like an Elite. Yeah. But these are going to be more expensive than a Basic? I don't see it. I really don't. I mean, of course, most of us are going to pay the money anyway, but I'm really going to have to think hard about, do I really want to purchase Goldberg? Do I really want to purchase this okay-looking Finn? Do I really want to purchase a repainted Sting? Do I really need another KO? Like, these are the questions that pop into your head when you're paying $13 a figure.
That Finn is terrible, dude.
I agree.
It's awful. It is awful. Pictures started popping up on Facebook. They showed Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, and Ric Flair. Now, Ric Flair looks terrific. I love the baby blue trunks.
Yes.
It's better than his Hasbro. He's
in your mid to late 80s Flair. It's really good.
Yeah, he's in that AJ Styles pose.
Macho King, yeah.
That's better than the original Hasbro, but I'm looking at that fin, and I'm like, oh, that is awful.
And here's where the price starts to weigh into your decision. You're throwing everything on the scale. Okay, $13, but look at it. It's not that great. Do I want to wait until maybe... I mean, if they're already releasing another KO and another Sting, well, odds are pretty good that they might redo another fin. You know what? It might have the headdress on the next one, or he might be in the black and white paint instead. That might look a little bit better. Like, these are all the things that start to play in when you start overcharging for the figures, which I think $13, kind of overcharging.
And you're 100% correct. If they're doing another KO and another Sting, you know they're going to do another Balor.
I would think so.
He's one of the most popular wrestlers on the roster right now.
Look how many elites he's already had.
Right. So they've got to do something better than that. It's terrible. The arms are just like pitch black. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no design. It's got a design on the chest. That was from his SummerSlam 90, or sorry, 90. SummerSlam 2016.
Yeah. Against Rollins.
Yeah. So the design on the chest is good, but man, those pitch black arms is just terrible.
Yeah, it just doesn't look great. And that's when that $13 price point, or if you have a coupon, maybe you consider it like a buy one, get one, or a 30% off or a half off, something like that. Then maybe that's when you complete your collection if they still have Finn available.
Yep. For the younger girls in that may be listening to the show, I don't know who does, but that those Barbie dolls that they've been putting out and they're pushing, they're going to be making Asuka.
And we saw the, not in the Barbie scale, but in the scale that's a little bit smaller than that, almost like the action figure style, kind of like the DC superhero girls. That's what Asuka, the picture we saw anyway, that's the Asuka that's going to be coming out.
I know a lot of people are like, it looks nothing like her. You know, the hair is terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting much from these anyways. So I'm not even in a past judgment. Like, I don't expect them to look exactly like Nikki Bella or Brie or whoever. I'm just kind of like indifferent on these. It's like, okay, it's Asuka. You know, I'm so indifferent on these things. You know, I hope they sell well for Mattel. I hope they do well for them, but
we're not their target audience though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It depends on what, you know, like 6-year-old to 11-year-old girls think of them, because those are the ones who are going to be influencing their parents to purchase. We're not their target audience with these things. That said, I think it's okay.
It's for the younger girls. Maybe they like it.
Yeah. So. I mean, if Peyton comes up to me, Daddy, I want this Asuka figure. Done. Put it in the cart.
Will she really want that?
If she stays good, yes. But she still has not forgiven Asuka for beating Bayley twice. There's still hard feelings there on Peyton's part. Oh, and by the way, speaking of that, we had friends and family over on New Year's Eve. We had Shannon's sister over, her husband, all of their kids. Cindy was here. Alana had her boyfriend over and invited one of her friends. So we had pretty packed house. Peyton in front of everybody goes, look what I got for Christmas, and got out the women's heavyweight title that you got her.
Oh, really?
Super proud of it, dude. Yes. Super. Threw it over her shoulder like a boss, like a champ. It was great.
The future is bright with that one.
Yes, it is.
Scott, no FTC, no Funko news, but we're going to switch gears a little bit right here.
Change lanes.
Yeah. What is in, let's say, video game news?
Yes, dude, I am so pumped for this. So Fire Pro released another game for the PC only with the promise that there was news coming out on the PS4. Well, I've been waiting for months and months to see, okay, I'm needing some PS4 news here. I don't play PC games. I play on a console, the PS4. What's the news? I need a Fire Pro game. I've never bought one. Last night, Fire Pro announced that their game is coming out this summer with the NJPW license tied to it. I am officially going to be buying my first Fire Pro game this summer the day it comes out. I'm putting a pre-order down. I don't care what content comes with it. I'm buying that game. It looks awesome.
Now, did you play Fire Pro back when it was on the Saturn? And
I played the ones that special guest Sean had. And I think he had one for the, was it the 64 or the PlayStation? Maybe it was the PlayStation?
Yeah, it might have been on PlayStation. I can't remember. Was it PlayStation or was it Saturn? Or?
Well, this would have been in like the 90s, I believe. It was one of those, and he took it up to the Delta on one of our guys' trips up there. And we played the heck out of that game, and there was a lot of customization that went into it on Sean's part. But then they came out with another one for the PS2, and that was in like mid-2000, I think, like around 2006. Sean had purchased that one. We played it here a couple of times. That one was pretty fun. But dude, the new one, it seems like it takes the heart and soul of the Fire Pro franchise and just injects NJPW into it, and it looks awesome. I cannot wait for that game to come out. It's going to consume me.
There hasn't been a video game console in this house for about, I'd say about 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, dude, the 360 was the last one you owned.
I have no time for video games, but now I'm like, how bad would it be to have a PS4 here in the house? Can I do it?
Do you have a smart TV already? Like, does it have all the apps built into it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, well, there's your excuse to buy a PS4, because PS4 has all your apps you need. YouTube, Netflix, Spotify.
That's what iPads are for, dude.
Yeah, but when you can get it on your TV, it's pretty sweet, dude. We use Netflix on the PS4 all the time.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, totally worth it, dude. You put that in your front room.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't have any time. It's like my life is consumed with gym, podcast, wrestling figures. Well, it's always been consumed with wrestling figures.
Who's Jim?
My boss, our director.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
So you're going to be sitting around on a Saturday and you're not going to be like, hey, I could have a quick Okada match real quick and then, you know, start the rest of my day. And then that turns into like 2 hours worth of gaming, and then suddenly you're hooked again.
Yeah, I know. That's as much as I love NJPW and I want to play that game, I don't know if I am going to get a PS4. So it's still up in the air right now.
You totally should, and I promise that I will work on you to get one.
How much are they? What, 200, 250?
You can find, well, it depends on the sales. Obviously, you just missed out with Black Friday and Christmas. They had a boatload of sales on the PS4.
Right.
But they might have a price drop this year before the NJPW game dropped, or Fire Pro game. So yeah. I'll keep you posted as I start seeing deals, because I'm on IGN.com all the time and they run daily deals on there. And when I find something, I'm going to start forwarding them to you.
All right.
Yep. I'll be the devil on your left shoulder.
Maybe. I'm trying to save money. I'm trying to be good.
Yeah, but NJPW game, dude.
Scott, we have Jack's Unmatched Fury Series 8. What you think?
Let's talk about him.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, Unmatched Fury Series 8. What you got?
Yes, sir. Unmatched Fury Series 8 consisted of Matt Hardy. And he was in his black pants and he was standing on the ring stairs with his arms kind of thrown out. We had Shawn Michaels again, and he was in the same pose as his earlier series. Just he was in his black and white pants or tights. I guess they would be pants on this figure. Third, we had Iron Sheik, and he was in green trunks and came with his headdress. And last, but absolutely and certainly not least, we had Boogeyman, and he was packaged with his staff and his clock. And he was in kind of his, like, kind of hunched down pose, like he was stalking somebody or getting ready to shove worms in somebody's mouth. And that rounds out Unmatched Fury Series 8.
Iron Sheik was such a disappointment. I just didn't like this one.
I thought it was good. It's hard to maybe find a signature pose for Sheik. I was thinking more they should have had him when he would, like, slap his legs and then kind of throw his arms like he's about to do the camel clutch.
But that would have been way better than what they threw him in.
Yeah, and then I think that he should have had, instead of the green trunks, I know that he wrestled in those. Obviously, it's accurate. But I think a cooler look, especially for the statue series, the Unmatched Fury, I think it would have been better to have his Iran pants on.
Agreed.
With the red boots with the little curl on the end like Xavier wears now. I think that that would have given it more character. It would have been more in line with the Unmatched Fury series.
I completely agree. Best one in the series was Boogeyman.
No doubt about it. They absolutely nailed Boogeyman. He's one of the finer Unmatched Fury figures of all of the line.
Without a doubt. He was kind of standing on the ring steps. He came with the ring steps accessories.
Yeah. And he was kind of in his lurking pose.
Just captured Boogeyman just perfectly. I mean, I wasn't the biggest Boogeyman fan.
No, I wasn't either.
But I can respect a figure that really captures the wrestler that they're going after.
Yeah, he's one that really, name a bad Boogeyman figure. They've all been pretty good. They haven't really missed with Boogeyman. Mattel really nailed him on the Elite line. And here, Jax absolutely did a perfect job on his Unmatched Fury.
Matt Hardy almost was like the same mold as the edge.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty close. it was pretty close.
Because he was in the same pose as Edge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could tell it was Matt Hardy. It wasn't like a repaint or anything of Edge, but yeah, Matt Hardy was good. It was good, but then you put him next to Jeff, and it's not really a cohesive set like the Triple H and Shawn Michaels in DX garb. That's a matching set. You would think that they would want to do something similar with the Hardys, but how do you do that when you've got Jeff and the Swanton? I guess maybe you have Matt doing like the two guns out pose or whatever, but it would have been cooler if they had done something with him matching up with the Jeff Hardy, but they didn't. They just basically had him on the ring steps, you know, throwing up his arms like Edge.
As I said, favorite boogeyman, least favorite Iron Sheik. How about you, Scott?
Agree. Absolutely agree. I think they could have done more with the Iron Sheik. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't a disaster by any stretch, but they could have done more with it. And there's not much to mention with Shawn Michaels. It was basically a repaint of his earlier release, just in the black and white pants that he'd wear, as opposed to the black and green from DX. But absolutely, Boogeyman was a home run.
Scott, your secret question is back this week.
Comes back like a nasty pimple.
No award segment to save you this week.
Darn it. Nothing? No crazy award to give out? Worst figure of 2017? No?
No. Do you want to do early awards for 2018?
Yeah, very early.
Yeah. Best elite. We haven't even found nothing.
Worst figure. Becky Lynch basic.
Any Becky Lynch. Who dat face?
Who dat?
Scott, let's get in your secret question.
Okay.
Scott, your secret question this week actually comes from the editor.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, this is along the lines of Orndorff clotheslining Hogan after the tag match.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Here's your question from the editor. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
As basically lounging around the house, we decided that we were going to finish up the Toys That Made Us.
Okay.
Now, if they were to do a wrestling figure one, what are the most important topics you want them to hit?
I would like to see the Remco line get a lot of love for actually coming out before the wrestling superstars from LJN. They were close in terms of release, but I believe Remco's were released first.
They were released first.
So I would like to see Remco get some recognition for that. I would love for them to touch a bit on the Poppies. And really, that should be like 10 minutes of the episode, maybe 15. I'm thinking maybe 5 minutes or so to the Poppies, maybe 10 to 15 minutes of Remco. And the rest of it, literally tell us how the LJNs came to be. I want to know designers. I want to know approval processes. I want to know kind of a ballpark of how guys were handed contracts for these toys. Like, we kind of got a feeler on the Jesse Ventura in that lawsuit story that we got. Those are kind of the questions that I want to know. I also want to know how they chose guys over other guys. Like, okay, we're going to pick, say, Outback Jack and Ted Arcidi for this series, but we're going to leave like Jim Powers and Paul Roma out of it. Like, how did they go about selecting who was going to be in it? Did they go by crowd reactions? Did they send out surveys at arenas? Like, how did they do that? Those are really some of the things that I would like to know. And then finally, what was the nail in the coffin for LJN? Why did they have to hand the line over to the guys that did the Black Card series? Those are kind of the questions that I want to know. I want to know basically from the very beginning to the very end. Touch on Poppy, touch on Remco. They were technically first, but that entire episode needs to be very, very heavy on LJN. I would say a good 45, maybe 40 minutes just to the LJN line from start to finish with all of the in-between. I would love to know some of that stuff.
Why do you think so heavy on LJN? Like, I could see just the LJN being 25 minutes. So you had about 10 for Poppy and Remco, 25 for LJN. But you got to get into those Hasbros, though.
Well, no, because technically, if you're only doing 80s, Hasbro didn't exist in the 80s. Not with WWF figures, anyway. They didn't come into existence until 90. So my cutoff is the end of 1989, and that was LJN. Like, the 80s were WWF, dude. I want to give Poppy and Remco their due, but dude, the 80s were the WWF. No offense to the NWA, of course, but dude, the 80s were WWF. You have to devote the 80s wrestling figures to LJN. That was the meat and potatoes of wrestling.
That is very true. That would be kind of cool to do that, because if you watch The Toys That Made Us, they mainly go over the lineage, the early, early releases. And then it usually kind of cuts off. And this happened for each toy line, except He-Man, because He-Man died off quick.
Yeah.
But each one kind of stopped around late 80s. So it looks like that they're only focusing on the 80s.
Correct. And while they did only focus on one specific toy line, i.e. G.I. Joe, He-Man, Barbie, they and Star Wars, it's hard to do that with wrestling figures because there were other players in the game. I think that if you're going to do The Toys That Made Us, you would have to cover all of wrestling toys for the 80s and not just LJN, because definitely Poppy and Remco deserve a lot of credit for what they did and what they put out. But really, 40 to 45 minutes, because WWF was the 80s.
Hogan was the John Cena of the 80s.
Oh yeah, and every little kid owned that Hulk Hogan figure. In fact, it's funny, one of my coworkers, I was telling him about that show, and I got on the subject of, you know, we're hoping that they do a series on the LJNs because, you know, every kid had a Hulk Hogan figure. He goes, dude, this was Lucas, by the way. He goes, dude, I didn't watch wrestling, but as a kid, I loved Hulk Hogan. He was born in 86, did not watch any wrestling, but because of Hogan's presence in the mainstream media, he loved Hulk Hogan.
Oh yeah, that's how big Hogan was in the 80s, dude. I mean, it was when they said Hulkamania running wild, it was running wild.
Yeah, you had Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. T, and Hulk Hogan.
Correct, correct.
Hogan was an icon in the 80s. So that's why I think if you do a wrestling episode, give Poppy and Remco their due and their credit, but then boom, right into LJNs, because that's the one that every kid had. You maybe had a couple of Remcos. You've probably never even heard of the Poppy line, but every kid had a Hulk Hogan doll. I'm sorry. Rubber wrestling figure.
By the way, Toys Has Made Us, we are open. We would love to be on that show.
Yeah, if we can help at all. I mean, we would love to be involved in something like that. Even if it's just, you know, email questions or whatever. We want to be a part of it. We lived it.
No, we want to fly to them, dude. We will buy our own plane tickets, our own hotel room, and we will fly there.
Whoa. You're definitely feeling the power of Hulkamania, dude. Look at you running wild.
It's running wild through me, dude. It's either that or the taqueria burrito that I had earlier.
Yeah. Earlier, Jordan Cassatt did tag us that the Toys That Made Us are doing a Transformers episode, because yep, we kind of had been guessing which ones were going to be included next. So we know that Transformers is a definite. That's not much of a surprise. I think wrestling is kind of a dark horse, but I'm hoping that they're going to be doing an episode on wrestling. That it would answer so many questions that I have.
So there was a lady that was part of that thread, and I don't know if you saw this. Actually, it was a lady that responded. She guessed the four, and the people from Toys That Made Us just replied with "Yep," like they were Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. But this is the four that this lady said. She said Transformers, Hello Kitty, Star Trek, and Legos. Those were going to be the next four. And all they replied was yep or something like that.
Disgusting.
It makes sense. Legos has to be on there. That once I heard that, I was like, oh, absolutely.
But Hello Kitty?
The Japanese influence of Hello Kitty, or the overseas influence of Hello Kitty, it's huge over there, dude. I mean, it's not as big over here, but overseas, it's insane over there. And it's still going strong.
Hogan will drop a leg on that kitty, brother.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
And we'll film it too, brother.
Star Trek kind of was, that one kind of surprised me, I have to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't really own a lot of Star Trek toys as a kid. Really, the Transformers one out of those four is the one that I'm definitely going to watch. Really lukewarm on the others. Lego, maybe. But man, really? Hello Kitty over wrestling? Ugh.
I'm watching all four, dude, because they have me hook, line, and sinker on these.
They're all great, and they're going to be amazing, just like the past four were. I'm just really disappointed there's no wrestling in these. But hopefully, you know, they'll get enough fan support. It's four at a time, apparently. Hopefully the four after this set, you know, once they've completed the eight, hopefully the four after that, we do get our wrestling lines. And if that's the case, I mean, if they're going to cover wrestling from start to finish, instead of just covering like a specific, like the LJN Wrestling Superstars, then dude, sky's the limit. But could you imagine a 1 hour episode devoted to Poppy, Remco, Hasbro, LJN, Jax, Mattel, Just Toys, Toy Biz, Galoob?
Oh,
that's going to be crazy.
It's going to be insane, dude.
Yeah, you'd need to do like a 6 or 7 hour episode, easy.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, that would be like a three-parter just covering all of wrestling figures, because wrestling figures never died off. The only break we ever had from wrestling figures was between Hasbro and Jax.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot like, oh gosh, I just had a line in my mind that it's like, oh, superheroes. As long as I can remember, every time you go to the toy store, there's always superheroes. Star Wars disappeared for a time. Yep. Sports figures, sports action figures have dissipated. They haven't always been around, but since the 80s, there have always been wrestling figures on the pegs. So I think it would be wise for the toys that made us to at least do an 80s wrestling episode. I'm really hoping that they do, man. It would just be so interesting, and I'd love to be a part of it, even if we're not. I can't wait to see it. I mean, I do have questions about how LJN came to be, all of the processes involved in the middle, and then how they ended. Just, I would love to see something devoted to that.
We're all over this, dude. We're like, you're hitting all of our senses right now. Nostalgia, toys, and then you throw wrestling figures into that? Oh, game on.
Yeah, this is like the toy series we all hoped and prayed for. And exactly. Now we finally have it. We just need that wrestling episode now.
Exactly. Scott, we got a couple listener submissions, and we're going to finish it out with Who Did It Better? Scott, first audio question comes from Nicholas Jacoby.
Hey, Scott and Jeff. It's Nick from Twitter, at NickG_25, coming at you guys with an audio question. I had another one in mind, but I totally forgot it. That's my fault. But it did have something to do with this topic, so I'm going to give it a go. So my question is, what do you think makes them decide what accessories to put on which Elite figures? Because sometimes it confuses me. Like the Elite 52, Seth Rollins, they gave him the WWE Championship belt, but he wasn't even fighting for the WWE Championship that night. Sometimes they really do nail the accessories, like I'm looking at right now, my Elite Spotlight Dean Ambrose and the Elite Spotlight AJ Styles. But sometimes they miss the boat on the accessories. So what do you guys think makes them put which accessories in which figures, mainly is the question. Thank you, guys.
That's an excellent question, Nicholas. That baffles me sometimes as well. Like you mentioned, Seth Rollins coming with the world title. It doesn't make sense. He didn't go for the world title that night in that Elite.
Right, and here's another one. The Festival of Friendship that just came out has Jericho holding the Universal title and Kevin Owens holding the US title. That should be flipped.
Well, at least it comes with both belts. But like that, when Seth Rollins wore that outfit that's in Elite 52... he wasn't even going for the title, so why even throw him in there, or why even throw that belt in there?
Yeah. No, I agree. That was a definite miss. I think it's really just kind of random. Like, if they can put a belt with a guy that makes sense, i.e. D'Lo Brown with the European Championship, they'll do it. Kevin Owens has come with the NXT title. Samoa Joe came with towels. John Cena came with weights. Braun Strowman came with a stretcher. Like, those accessories do make sense. I would say that Mattel is better about accessories than Jax was, because Jax was just completely random, throwing things against the wall. Like, okay, let's put a cookie sheet with Typhoon because cookie sheet, and he's a fat guy. Like, brilliant, Jax. I think Mattel does things that make a little more sense, but still sometimes they miss. Like you said, Jeff, and like Nick said with the WWE title on the SummerSlam Seth Rollins.
Well, more times than not, they'll hit on the accessories. You know, they did perfect on the network spotlight Finn Balor, and then the Roman Reigns. He came with the heavyweight title. more times than not, they'll hit. But there are the occasional, come on now. Like Dean Ambrose with a cop hat and baton. Why even throw that in? Why?
Well, you know, Village People, Dean Ambrose. But then they can immediately flip it and do a network spotlight Dean Ambrose. And he comes with the Money in the Bank briefcase and the WWE title. And it's actually one of the best Ambrose figures they've ever done. And you're like, oh, dude, okay, there you go. Now you're talking.
That is the best Dean Ambrose they've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up a great point. The Finn Balor network exclusive. I mean, with the chainsaw, the perfect paint job, the headdress. Awesome looking figure. I think that they do good more than they do bad. I say Jax was the exact opposite with their accessories because it was like they just had a whole... here goes the Jax dumpster again. But I think they had a whole dumpster full of accessories and they're just like, just throw them in with the figure. We don't care. I don't care if it doesn't make sense. Just cookie sheet with Typhoon. Make it so.
Yeah, so not sure what... And maybe they had extra belts laying around. Like, hey, throw a belt in, make it super... You know, make people want to buy that Seth Rollins. Maybe the belt will push it, not the vest that they threw him in.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And it was just an oversight.
Exactly. So not really sure what goes into the decision making. Would love to go into Mattel and kind of be a fly on the wall for when they do.
Yeah.
But like Scott said, most times they hit, but there are the rare occasions where they're throwing a cop hat and a baton in and they're throwing a world title in with someone that doesn't deserve a world title, you know?
Right, but let's not forget the Daniel Bryan Elite from WrestleMania 30 that comes with two world titles. Let's not forget the Paige that came with an NXT and a Divas belt. And let's not forget the Chris Jericho Undisputed Champion that came with two world titles as well. So I'm going to say they hit more than they miss. But when they miss, it's a real head scratcher.
There was another one. Oh, it's driving me nuts. There was another one where we're just sitting there going, what? I thought we saw it at San Diego Comic-Con. Oh, remember the Mickey James prototype? Or not the prototype, the rendering that they showed up on the wall? It came with the NXT Women's Championship?
Yeah, it's like, was she supposed to beat Asuka at that one takeover then?
Yeah, was Bill given misinformation or something?
Yeah, that was kind of confusing.
Yeah, I don't foresee that belt going in with that figure, but that one was another head scratcher. It was like, really? You guys didn't do that?
All right. Yeah, we'll see if that actually happens. I don't think that that one will.
I think one of the best accessories was Andre the Giant coming with a wig.
That was pretty good. Because you could, if it came with a machine mask, you would have had like every iteration of Andre the Giant in there.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nicholas, for sending that in. Hopefully we answered your question.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, excellent question. You made us think on that, man. Don't do that ever again.
Yeah, I'm in pain now.
Scott, this next question is an email from Josh Thompson. Hey, Jeff and Scott, in your opinion, what's one of the more disappointing Elite series by Mattel? Elite 51 didn't sit right with me. AJ was meh and not as good as his Toys R Us exclusive. Mankind was meh. Sammy, I already had. Same with Scott Hall. And Berserker, well, so let me get to this straight. Let me get this straight, Mattel. You'll make a figure of a stupid Viking, but not of a giant bird that came out of an egg at Survivor Series. And you wonder why I'm jumping on the FTC and bandwagon. Mattel, you wonder why. That was from Josh. That was from Josh Thompson, his weekly email. I actually did not mind that Elite 51. I thought they got a good AJ, a more updated AJ. The network spotlight, Scott and I talked about this. The figure was great with the white and is capturing his WrestleMania 33 outfit. But they put that stoic face on, and that stoic face, I pick at it every week.
Yeah.
I just, it just drives me nuts. That stoic face that they just immediately are like, hey, we got to throw AJ in, scan him real quick, and now get his figures out to market. It was almost like they could have worked a little bit on the face. And I thought with Elite 51, they did better with it.
Yeah. They should take 51's head and stick it on the network spotlight.
Right. You said that last week too, and you're 100% correct. You know what? Scott Hall, I did not like that figure. I was not a fan of that Wolfpack looking Scott Hall.
Oh, wow.
I wasn't. I know a lot of people love that figure, and I'm like, I must be missing something because it's not hitting over here.
I'm trying to think of an entire series that I was disappointed in. There have always been, it always seems like the elites, there's like three that I really like and then three that I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely not buying those. I don't think I can think of an entire series that I disliked.
One that I think about often is Elite 44. That one had Sasha Banks with that horrible Sasha scan.
Yep.
Granted, it was her first elite, but it was like, oh man, you guys botched the face. What are you doing?
We have to keep the sunglasses on it now. Thanks.
The only thing that saved that Elite 44, and in that Elite 44 was Braun, Tugboat,
Biggie,
Sin Cara, and I'm missing one other person. Oh, Macho. It was a red and yellow Macho.
Ultimate Maniacs Macho.
Yeah. The only thing that saved that was Braun's first elite also, and he came with the black sheep mask.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that saved that Elite 44. So that's one series I'm kind of disappointed in. I'd have to go through every series to kind of go, oh, that's bad. That's good. That's not bad, you know. But 44 jumps out to me right off the bat.
I mentioned that every series there seems to be one or two figures that I'm like, okay, those are cool, but then the rest of them just don't really do anything for me. I think 47A would be mine. And Jeff, you looked that up for me. Thank you. It's Ascension, Gold Dust, Brian Pillman, Rock, and Kane with the mask inside of the case. I like the Kane, and I think that them putting the mask inside the case was a cool touch. The rest of the figures in that set do nothing for me. Ascension haven't really been on TV in forever. They're kind of doing a little more with them now with Brazango, but when they released those figures, they were dead in the water. Right. The Pillman is inaccurate. They almost put like the Hollywood Blondes vest on him.
Right.
But it's flying, Brian. The Gold Dust is okay. It's pretty good. But then the Rock again, and not even really a fantastic Rock figure. So that one to me was kind of underwhelming when really like the best figure is Kane. 47A was probably one of my least favorites ever.
I'm glad you're starting to like the FTC figures. FTC is really starting to turn that corner, dude. We mentioned this a few podcasts ago. You know, the first wave or two was kind of rough, but they're starting to turn that corner, man.
Yeah. Have you seen War Machine? Dude.
Yeah, and Hero.
That Chris Hero figure in white is awesome. I love that figure.
So, anyways, glad you're liking the FTC figures, dude.
Yeah, definitely. Keep that collection growing. We got to support those guys.
Yep. Scott, our last email comes from Derek Northrup. He says, hey, Jeff and Scott, I just had a quick question. A while ago, you had discussed the zombies, monsters, and other weird figures. Do you think these type of figures will fetch a pretty penny 10 to 15 years from now? It's a stretch, but it makes me wonder as a collector, keep up the good work and go Bills. Yeah, hold on. 17 years I have been waiting for the Bills to make the playoffs.
You'll have to wait even longer for those zombies figures to make money.
Way to tie it back in.
Thank you, sir. I'm professionally unprofessional. Remember that.
You know what's funny is, what was that Toy Biz line?
The Gross Out.
The Gross Outs. Thank you. Surprisingly, those figures are drawing some money on eBay. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, why are people going overboard on these? Why are they spending so much money on these? I don't understand it. But those Gross Out line is actually drawing some money on eBay.
The reason for that is because they were super scarce. I don't think everybody carried them, and if they did, they maybe got one case in, and then they were gone. On the other hand, the mutants and the zombies and the monsters, those are in plentiful supply. Every time you go to Walmart, they've got at least one or two of them. Yes, they've sold out of the initial waves, but not until after they clearanced them out. I can't see them being worth very much. I would stick, if you're looking for something that's going to increase in value, look back at Mattel's Elites, the earlier lines. Those are the ones that fetch some cash. I would stick with those. I would not be looking at the zombies or the monsters or the mutants to be a cash cow in the future at all. I think they're an experimental line. I don't know how much further they're going to go with it, but I wouldn't bank on them being worth very much. Now, however, if you get into, say they release two more series, and the very last series they release is super scarce, if you can get your hands on that entire set, do it. Put it away in a closet somewhere. 10, 15 years down the road, revisit it, because I'm sure they're going to be worth quite a bit. It's the rarity of it. Those gross outs didn't show up everywhere. That's why they fetch a ton of cash now.
Is it time to do the zombie line on who booked this?
I think we need to wait until the final nail is in that coffin. And then, yes, we will absolutely bash the crap out of the zombies. Like Negan with a baseball bat, we're taking those zombies down.
I can't wait. I've been waiting for this since they announced it 2 years ago.
It won't overtake the Rick Rude LJN. So all of our fans of the constant bashing we do with Rick Rude LJN, don't worry. That will always hold a special place in our heart. But the zombies are definitely going to come in second.
There's the Rick Rude LJN mention.
Yep. We hate him. Love Rick Rude. Hate his figure.
That's for you, ring skirts. Scott, this week we are going to play Who Did It Better?
I love this game.
Oh, this game is so much fun. After minutes and minutes of searching, I was like, we have gone over a bunch of wrestlers thinking, who can we do Who Did It Better? And we've done Ric Flair, we've done Hogan, we've done Shawn Michaels. But you know what? We've never done Shawn Michaels' tag team partner, Marty Jannetty.
That's true.
So Scott, Marty Jannetty, let's go down the list.
Before we do that, did you say that you searched for minutes and minutes?
Yeah, it was just a couple minutes.
Okay. Are you saying that's what Marty deserves?
Aw, I like Marty Jannetty sometimes.
Me too. I mean, but hey, the guy did get thrown through a plate glass window.
Oh, dude. He jumped through it, dude.
Oh, that's right. He was trying to escape.
Yeah, he was trying to escape.
Right. That's right. Bobby Heenan did correct us on that way back in the day. So yeah, going over the history of Marty Jannetty figures, he had a Remco.
He did.
He did not, unfortunately, have an LJN.
Nope.
He had two Hasbros. He had Jax as one half of the Rockers.
Yep.
And he has had a Mattel. One Mattel, exactly, as one half of the Rockers.
He actually had two Jax.
They also offered him in a three-pack of the Classic Superstars as the other half of the tag teams that were really popular in the day. Anvil, Marty, and Tito. So instead of getting a Shawn Michaels and Bret and Rick Martel three-pack, we were given the less popular other half of the tag teams and got Marty, Tito, and Jim the Anvil.
Well, technically,
all of them were really well done, by the way.
Technically, we did get a three-pack of Bret, Shawn, but The Rock was thrown in there.
Correct. Not the model Rick Martel. No. Or Strikeforce Rick Martel.
Right. So, Scott, going up and down the line of looking at Marty Jannetty's, which one's your favorite?
If the head on the Hasbro singles run Marty Jannetty was better, I would say that would probably be my favorite Marty Jannetty figure. I can't get past the part that there is no white in his eyes. If they had just taken the Rockers Marty Jannetty head and stuck it on the singles run Marty Jannetty body, that would have been my favorite Marty Jannetty figure of all time. I just can't get past the face on that thing. It's not well done, which is surprising for a Hasbro because I loved all of them. But I just can't get past the face on them. That said, because it had killer accessories, I'm going Marty Jannetty Remco.
Oh, you're going the Remco, huh?
It had the zebra shirt and it had those 80s sunglasses that were like triangles. That is my favorite Marty Jannetty figure. Black tights, zebra on the boots, zebra shirt, triangle looking 80s sunglasses. Awesome figure.
You know what? I was going to say that one was my favorite too, but the more I look at it, the Matty Collector 2-pack Rockers, that Marty is really, really good with Sean and Marty.
It is. And I wish they would do a battle pack of that so I wouldn't have to go buy another set of those to open for like $150 or $175.
Ugh. Is that how much they're going for?
They're up there, dude. They're worth quite a bit.
Oof. So I'm going to have to say that Marty's my favorite. I will agree with you on 100% on that Marty Jannetty Hasbro. That singles run could have been my favorite if they would have just fixed the head a little bit.
It needed work. The face lacked something. It didn't pop. The tag team Marty Jannetty from the Rockers, that face had some character to it. The one in the singles run was just, I don't know if hollow is a good word, just it was lacking something. It was like they forgot the paint application on it or something. It was just off.
See, I have to disagree with you. I didn't like either Marty head sculpt.
Oh, in the Hasbro line?
On the Hasbro, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
It missed on the Rockers, and I think they could have gone back and retooled it for a singles run, but they didn't. It seemed like it was just even more off than the tag team pack. So,
yeah, it was like they put the unpainted version of that head on that figure, which made no sense.
Exactly.
Because they did so well on the body, but man, did they miss with that face.
Exactly. So I've got to say no to Hasbro. I was close to saying Remco, but it's all about the Matty Collector. I think that Matty Collector is really, really good.
Yeah, and I do love that they put the Rocker shirts on them too.
Yes.
The purple shirts is such a great touch, and their cloth.
Yep.
Way to go, Mattel. That is a killer two-pack. If you don't have that one in your collection, I highly recommend it. It's a great-looking piece, and it looks great on the card.
It does. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to get those figures loose, though. One of these days.
Scott, I'm going to have you express feelings on the Tag Team Doom in WCW.
Highly underrated. Highly and sorely underrated. They were in probably one of the finest tag team classes ever. You had the Samoan SWAT team, who later became the Head Shrinkers. You had the Road Warriors. You had the Steiner Brothers. You had the Freebirds. You had the Horsemen. You had the Skyscrapers when they were Sid Vicious and Dan Spivey. And then you had Doom. That tag team class is amazing. And Doom, at one time, were the tag team champions of that tag team class. Not the U.S. tag team champions, which is total second-rate belt. They were the world tag team champions in that stacked tag team division. That's like being the tag team champions of that stacked late 80s tag team division.
Yes.
That meant something. Like, that was a big deal. For Demolition to hold those titles in WWF all those years, that said a lot for Demolition. For Doom to hold the NWA or WCW tag team titles in that class, when you had just two of the teams, the Road Warriors and the Steiner Brothers, and Doom were your tag team champions, they deserve a lot more credit. Ron Simmons was an amazing athlete, so good, especially in his WCW World Heavyweight title run. That was so great. And Butch Reed, I think, also is one of the more underrated, although he didn't hold a lot of belts. I think he's one of the more underrated single stars of all time. That dude was put together and he could go in the ring.
Yep.
I just don't think he was given enough love or enough of a push. I think he would have made a great Intercontinental Champion. And I thought he was being groomed for that, but they never put the title on him. They never gave him that chance. WCW hit a total home run by putting those two guys together and then sticking Teddy Long with them. Amazing tag team. Go back and watch. I think it was Starrcade 90. I always get 90 and 91 mixed up. They faced Barry Windham and Arn Anderson in a street fight on that card. That match is so good. That's actually one of my favorite WCW pay-per-views ever. But that match specifically is fantastic. Doom was just so good in the ring. They had a great chemistry. They were big guys. They were athletic. They did the power moves. And then Teddy Long at ringside was such a great manager for them. Just two guys that were really, no offense to Lex Luger, that were really like the total package. They slapped them together and made an awesome tag team. I wish they had had a longer run. That's my only gripe about Doom, is they could have gone longer, but they didn't. But the fact that they actually held the tag belts in that class that they were in speaks volumes about them and what WCW thought about them. And I just wish they had a longer run.
I was going to hit the mark button on you, but I started thinking, I was like, oh, yeah, I agree with them on everything. Doom is just, they were so good, man. I mean, they were going toe-to-toe with the Steiners, and like you said, that tag division was just off the charts.
I didn't even mention the Rock and Roll Express were there still, too. And so were still there, and so was the Midnight Express.
Right, right. You know what's funny is you mentioned that the U.S. tag belts back in the day were second-rate belts. Man, those U.S. titles felt just as big as the regular world titles.
Well, I think that they did when the likes of the Midnight Express and Tom Zink and Brian Pillman held them.
Right.
But then when you put them on like Firebreaker Chip and Brad Armstrong, not so much. And then Ranger Ross steps in the picture and he's got a title. Like, you're watering it down a little bit. I think at one point the U.S. tag titles were a big deal. It just lost its luster when they started throwing it on second-rate guys. It was almost like they had so many tag teams, they had to have this other tag team title, and it just got watered down after a minute. I didn't really care for those belts. They kind of looked cool, but the world tag title is what it was all about.
I love those belts. I loved, except the heavyweight. I didn't like the big gold belt. I still don't to this day. But I thought WCW's belts with the US title when Magnum held it.
Yes.
Beautiful title. The tag belts.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. The ones that the Rock and Roll Express held.
Yep. Yes. Beautiful. The TV title that Tully held.
Yep. And Arn.
And Arn. Oh my God. Those titles were just perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Really beautiful titles. That's the one thing, well, amongst the many, but that's the one thing that NWA really did get right is, I know that you always have a gripe about the big gold belt, but they always got their titles right. Great belts. Even the US tag titles, which, you know, I just gave my opinion on those. The belt themselves were actually pretty cool.
Yeah. The big gold belt, I will admit, it does look like a heavyweight title. That looks like a belt that a champion would carry around.
That's why I like it.
But I just don't like the design of it. I just never have. I've never been a fan of it.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. I think it stood out from all the other NWA titles. Like, if you were to line them all up on a table and been like, okay, without knowing which one is the world heavyweight title? You would immediately look at that one and go, boom, that's your championship belt. I just thought it was awesome, and it signified who was the champion back in the day. And the fact that Flair held it for so many years, he was the perfect guy for it.
If all the belts were lined up and somebody said, you have to pick out the world heavyweight title from what's on the table, I'd be like, is this a trick question? I'm pretty sure it's that big gold one, you know, that's godly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean, is there was no doubt if you turned on the channel and you saw a guy walking around with that belt, you're like, okay, there's your champion.
Right, right.
That's why I really like that title. But yeah, overall, with the tag team class that Doom was in, I would put that tag team class right up there with anything that the WWF offered at any year as one of the best ever. And the fact that Doom was at the top of that class at one time speaks volume about them as a tag team. And if they had only had a longer run, I think that they could have been one of the best ever. But unfortunately, it got derailed for whatever reason, probably something to do with Butch Reed. They just kind of fell off and then they were forgotten. It was on to the next tag team. But man, I'm just thinking them against like Terry Gordy and Steve Williams. Could you imagine that matchup? That would have been fantastic. The matches they had with the Steiners were amazing.
Yeah.
But man, if you match them up with Steve Williams and Terry Gordy, that would have been, as Jim Ross said, a slobber knocker. That would have been great.
I can't believe you brought Firebreaker Chip into this podcast.
Yeah, you know, here we are in 2018. Who out there thought that they were going to hear the name Firebreaker Chip this year? You're welcome.
You're not hearing this on any other podcast. We're bringing Firebreaker Chip to this.
Yeah, who's talking about Firebreaker Chip?
No one. No one.
Us?
Yeah. Over at Breaker and Bane, they just did an obscure superstar spotlight on Friar Ferguson.
Awesome.
That was hella laughing. They're like, there's really not much to say about Friar Ferguson. It was Bastion Booger. That's it.
Yeah.
But Scott, you know what's really cool, though?
That one day we might have Doom figures?
I wish. But no, that our new design is going up on Tuesday at whatamaneuver.net.
Yes, this Tuesday in Texas, our new WrestleFest shirt goes up online on whatamaneuver.net. Texas and 49 other states.
The title of the shirt is Wrestling Figure Fest. So go to whatamaneuver.net, pick up that new fully posable Wrestling Figure Fest t-shirt. I got to start saying that. I should just say get all of our shirts at whatamaneuver.net.
All of them. We're going to have a whole line. The goal is to have one for every day of the week for you guys.
And sweatshirts and tank tops.
Yeah, you guys want hats, hoodies? We'll take care of it.
So yes, this Tuesday, January 9th, I believe it drops at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So yeah, just head over to whatamaneuver.net during the midday and grab yourself a shirt, please. You can also follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes like Hang of Wednesday did today. You can send us any audio questions like Nicholas Jacoby did, or any questions at all like Josh Thompson and Derek Northrup did. Thank you, gentlemen, for sending those in to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, episode 103 is in the books. Anything else?
Yes. Before I give off my catchphrase, I do want to send one more huge thank you out to my good friend Mike on Twitter, who helped me get an awesome Christmas present for my daughter. I truly appreciate your help with that. You made her Christmas. I know you saw the video. I just wanted to say thank you again. I owe you a huge debt of gratitude. I truly appreciate it. Happy toy hunting.
Also, make sure you go and check out Extra Cooler's work. His stuff is amazing. He helped us out on our Wrestling Figure Fest t-shirt that is also dropping this Tuesday. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.